encouraging and inspirational message. Here's Pastor Russ.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on Life Radio, your inspiration station.
Yeah.
Pastor Ruben is with me.
Hey, everybody.
He's got some questions lined up for Conversations with Russ today.
I sure do.
So glad that you joined us. You can join us at 1460 AM. I'm sorry. Or liferadionj.com, listen live, or Facebook Live, our Life Radio Facebook page. Also, we're streaming live on the Fountain of Life Facebook page as well. So glad you've joined us. And hey, go ahead, they can hit share, right?
Yeah, they can. I just shared it on the Fountain of Life's page, so I know it's working.
All right, good, good. We have our brother tech director is with us as well.
Come on.
And Andrew Torres. And so we're going to jump into some questions today. These are going to be, we got a couple heavyweights.
We sure do.
That have come in. And so we're getting ready to do this. I love the show, and I'll tell you why. Because it's an opportunity to wrestle with real issues that real people are facing in this real life that we're living.
Exactly.
And it's easy sometimes to take the tough questions and just, well, and push them aside.
That's somebody else's problem.
Yeah. But we're going to tackle a few of them today, but I've asked Pastor Ruben to start out easy. And so, but we're really glad you joined us. Tell a friend, text a friend, hit share, but let's get as many people on the show here with us today. Yeah. Glad you're here.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, jumping into this, you had done this with Pastor Matt with Life Center Academy, with their chapel, that you had a good Q&A with some of the students that the students asked a whole bunch of questions, and Pastor Matt kind of grabbed the ones that were going to be really, you know, really good, really right. thoughtful. And so in full candidness here, we're borrowing that concept, because again, those questions were phenomenal and they were great.
Yeah,
and we got to share those answers with that group of people, and we want to be able to share that with more people. And
I thought it was cool too for the Life Center Academy. It was the upper school chapel,
right?
And by the way, big plug for Life Center Academy.
Come on. Kindergarten to 12th grade.
And you know, sometimes you know, and we have a lot of people come in and preach sermons.
Yeah,
you know. And so I talked to Pastor Matt about that, and I said, how about we just have a conversation?
Yeah.
And so that's
a
what
conversation
we did.
With Russ. Go figure. Look at that. Look at that.
Who thought of that? So, and you know, sometimes faith, in this faith journey, it is a conversation.
Yeah.
Rather than just aha moments.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's for sure.
We're going to jump into this today, and going to start out easy with
me? We're going to start off easy. I think you can handle this first one pretty nice and easy here.
Let's go.
So our first question here is, how do you have so much energy? How is that possible?
How do I have so much energy? Dude, I just drink a lot of coffee.
That's really what it is.
Not really. I think it's just how I'm wired.
Yeah.
I've just never done anything halfway, man.
No.
I'm all in. I'm all in. I remember when we used to have like family reunions and the whole family played softball together, mm-hmm. you know. I'd step up the bat, and it's all family now, you know, mm-hmm. grandma's out there, auntie.
Uh-oh.
And my brother, who had open heart surgeries in right field, you know, and I just crushed it over his head, you know. My dad would get so mad at me. Why do you gotta play to win all the time?
Right. That's because there's only one switch, and it's always at 100.
It's always at 100, you know. And so, you know, when I try to eat healthy and I exercise, I run a lot.
Yeah.
And
I used to tease you all the time on how you were saying, oh yeah, I ran, just casually ran 8 miles. And I said, you're insane. You were absolutely insane. So, I'm panting if I run half a mile.
Yeah, I know. But look at the pythons on him. He lifts a lot of weight.
Well, thank you.
You know, I'm wired that way, I'm passionate about God. I'm passionate about
for sure.
this faith life.
Yeah,
just passionate about life in general.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? And it kind of exudes from me, I guess, all this energy. People always say to me, "Hi, you have so much energy." Yes, I always wish people would say, "You're so anointed," but they don't say that.
Just go for the energy thing.
They say to you, so
one of my favorite ways that you had presented this before was that you have ADD and OCD, or you have OCD and ADD, and so you want everything perfect, but only for a short amount of time. It's my favorite way that you lay that out.
Yeah. And you know what? But for people who aren't real passionate, or it doesn't ooze from them like it does from me,
right.
You can be passionate and not demonstrative, I guess.
It doesn't always look the same exact way.
It doesn't always look the same on everybody. But yeah. That's how I have so much energy.
That's cool.
And I think whenever you love what you do, it helps you.
Yeah, for sure. It makes it easy for you to kind of just roll with everything because it's getting you excited. You're already excited walking in. It's getting you more and more excited the more and more you do it. So,
like, I was excited about coming in here.
Come on.
Today,
you were. I heard you from, you were three rooms away, and I heard you walking down.
I put my energy drink down and came in.
Walked right on in. All right, question number two. Hey, if you guys have any questions at all, we'd love for you to just comment on it. I'm looking at the feed right now, so if you have questions for Pastor Russ, we'd love to be able to present some of those. So
they can do that right on Facebook, right?
They can do that right on Facebook, right there.
Send them in.
All right, question number two. This was a very interesting one. Have you ever played Fortnite before?
No, but I can do the floss.
Do it. How interesting. That's what I'm going to call that. I'm going to call that interesting.
My grandson taught me that. Anyway, I didn't even practice that.
That was all raw talent is what you're telling me.
Yeah. You know what? I just never been a big video game guy. You know, my grandkids crushed me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I sat down to play a video game with my one grandson. He goes, "Are you ready for a beatdown, Papa?"
Goodness gracious.
No respect at all.
He's not holding any punches back, huh? He's just went for it.
So anyway,
went for it. Yeah, not...
No Fortnite for me.
That's good. I'm not a Fortnite fan either. I'm not a video game fan. I'm working on the floss.
So.
You're working on the floss, yeah. Just somebody out there, help him out, all right? Somebody's got to help him out.
People are probably saying, I thought this was spiritual.
Yeah. We'll get there.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Momentarily, everybody. Momentarily. Hey, all right. So question number three. Is it hard to be a pastor?
Sometimes it is, but most of the time it's the best life ever.
Okay.
It really is. I get to help people.
Yeah.
Help meet people where they are, help hurting people, help leaders become better leaders, preach the greatest message to ever hit the planet.
Yeah.
I mean, I sometimes have to pinch myself that I get to do what I do or that God called me to do what
right.
I do. And every Sunday. And I got to tell you this, you know what? I remember it was 1986. Were you born yet?
No, I was not. My oldest sister wasn't even born yet.
Some people are just mean, you know?
So sorry.
Haters going to hate. But in 1986, I preached, you know, my first sermon.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember this little Baptist church asked me to come and preach.
Okay.
And I was so lit for this and so excited. And I got to be honest with you. I'm as excited to step into the pulpit now as I was the first time 32 years ago.
Okay.
So I love it. And it's not just because it's my vocation, it's because it's my calling.
Yeah.
You know, and whenever you're working or operating in your God-given purpose, calling, destiny, it's like, it's just the best life ever.
Yeah.
I've helped a lot of people walk through crisis, share their joys. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Okay.
Is it hard sometimes?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard sometimes. What's hard about it?
That was going to be my follow-up question, so way to go. All right.
But what's hard about it? I think what's hard about it is when you really see the right direction somebody needs to go,
yeah,
and you help to try to steer people in a godly, righteous direction.
Right.
And they just reject that and go the other way.
Yeah.
And you just almost can prophesy the train wreck.
Yeah.
That's hard about being a pastor. Another thing that's hard is when you walk with people through much of their faith journey and then I've been betrayed a few times.
Hmm.
And that's painful.
Yeah.
But if you lay your heart out there, somebody's going to step on it.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But I'll tell you this, being a pastor, does it have its challenges, even its sorrows at times?
Yeah.
Yes, but there's 1,000 joys to every sorrow.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's really good. So you would say that the hardest part is watching somebody go in a direction that's not godly, especially when you're walking next to them, trying to bring them through, and they kind of just go a different direction. What do you think is the thing that gets you the most excited? You kind of were alluding to it, I think. Would it be, you think preaching is the thing that gets you most excited about being a pastor?
I think so.
Okay.
I think making Jesus real to people.
Yeah. That doesn't always happen in the pulpit.
No, not always in the pulpit, but let's talk about the pulpit for a minute.
Yeah.
If it was just sometimes preaching gets people excited because they like the spotlight.
Yeah. Which is a dangerous disposition to have.
Yeah. It's not the spotlight that thrills me.
Mm-hmm.
It's that I get to make Jesus real to people.
Yeah.
And it's the greatest message, like I said, to ever hit the planet. The message of God's love and saving grace and living this faith life. Mm-hmm. And I don't do it with a lot of big fancy words. And,
right.
You know, I don't know any. many. So when I do learn one, I will try it out on folks.
We'll throw it out there.
You know, it's so, and I think the Lord has gifted me to help take even some truths that are complicated and make them, or even the Bible that can be complicated.
Sometimes, yeah.
And sometimes it is, and to help make it easy to understand.
Yeah.
And that's one of my greatest joys.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, next question here. Ready?
Yeah.
Is it wrong to hang out with people who are not Christians?
Hmm. Is it wrong? Say that again.
Is it wrong to hang out with people who are not Christians? Is it wrong to hang out with people who don't follow Jesus?
I think it's wrong not to.
Come on, somebody. I just got saved all over again. Come on.
You know, I've heard people say, you know, I've got a Christian doctor, I got a Christian dentist, I got a Christian lawyer,
where do you find all of these people?
Chiropractor. It's like, get out of the Jesus bubble already.
Right.
And I people take that verse, come out from among them, be separate.
Right.
And that means let's not take part in people's sin. But Jesus said we're supposed to be light.
Right.
He said, men don't light a candle and then put it under a bushel basket.
Exactly.
We're to be light. And where are we to be light? Just in church with all the other lights? No.
Right.
We've got to be a light in the darkness. We've got to be salt.
Yeah.
In a rotting world. And I think that too many Christians live and operate in this Jesus bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And I think God wants us to get out of that, Jesus. We need the fellowship of the believers, but we need to touch. We need to touch people
right.
who are lost. For example, salt.
Yeah.
Before refrigeration,
right?
Salt. You had to pack meat in salt.
Yeah.
But if you put the meat in one room and the salt in another room, the meat will rot.
Right. It's not going to do anything for you.
So somehow the salt, your salt, I'm salt,
mm-hmm.
Brother Tech Director is salt.
Right.
Someday we're going to show you his face.
He has a face, we
but
promise.
We're salt. But the world is rotting.
Yeah.
And it's lost without God.
Mm-hmm.
God loves them. And somehow the salt has got to touch.
That's right.
The meat or the world. And so now I will, but let me give a warning though, okay?
Yeah.
Because if befriending unsaved people or people who have no faith,
mm-hmm.
If we don't have the willpower to not engage in their sin with them,
right?
Then we're not ready for this,
right?
We need to be able to rub shoulders with and talk with and have conversations with people who don't have faith in God.
Yeah.
And they may be still doing some off the wall crazy stuff.
Yeah.
That we feel convicted of and know that the Bible speaks against.
Yeah.
And so when I say that we are to be salt and light, and what was the question? Is it wrong to hang out with people who are not Christians?
Right.
No, it's wrong not to. But if we can't keep ourselves from engaging in their sin, then we need to pull back.
Then that's a maturity thing on within our walk with God, where we have to come to the place where, like, hold on, I think I need to just stick with Jesus in this, and I need Jesus to heal me in this, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about it all the time, and maybe we don't talk about it enough, but, right, the Great Commission is go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So in order for us to make to go and make those disciples, that means we have to get out of our Jesus bubble. And so that's...
You're right.
Yeah.
Sorry, I started to interrupt you.
No. I was just going to say that it's awesome. You know, my my chiropractor happens to be Christian, but that's because I met him. He serves in our church, and that's how I met him. And there was something wrong with my neck, and it just worked out that way.
Yeah,
but
I
make it a habit to make sure that there are people that I'm communicating with. So whoever my barber is, whoever the people I'm working out with the gym, that these aren't my best friends. These aren't the people that I'm like pouring, you know, all of my secrets into or anything, but these are people who I will call my friends, and I do hang out with them, and I'm around them. But I want to make sure that a lot of people have really bad taste of Christianity for whatever reason, right?
Yeah.
And so I want people to know that, not that I'm perfect, but I do represent Jesus Christ, and I try my best to represent Jesus Christ in a way that's going to be helpful to somebody else, and for them to recognize, wait, not all Christians are weird. Not all Christians are trying to hate on this group of people or that group of people or whatever it is, you know?
You know, and some of the hardest, I'll tell you who this is hard for, like people like myself, because we're in the church every day.
Right.
And one thing I told the kids at the Life Center Academy, I said, sometimes I want all of us pastors to go get a part-time job.
Yeah.
You know, maybe like at Starbucks, you know, I've always wanted to be a barista.
Come on. That was one of my favorite jobs that I've ever did.
Were you really a barista?
I can teach you a few things if you'd like.
He's got the best coffee maker in his office. But all kidding aside, I mean, sometimes I'd like to go get a part-time job, not for the money, but to just rub shoulders with people who are not people of faith yet, because I'm always with Christians. But so then if we work for the church, I think you said it, there's some ways that we can still rub shoulders, whether it's maybe a gym membership that's not at the Life Center Fitness Center.
Right. We want you to be a part of it, but we also recognize that we got to be sharing our faith with other people outside of just, you know, our fountain of life
bubble, look for
or
ways.
Our Christian bubble or whatever it is.
Yeah, we've got to look for ways to be salt and light. Mm-hmm. So I think enough said on that. So
I agree.
Next.
All right, next question. Do you think everything in the Bible is true?
Do I think everything in the Bible is true?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay. I thought that was just the question asker here. I didn't know it was coming back my way.
Well, to you or to anyone who, because I think a lot of people watching or listening have that same question. I would like to answer that question with a question, and that's this. If all of it is not true, who am I to determine what is and what isn't?
Yeah.
And we can't look at the Bible like a bag of trail mix.
Yeah.
You know,
only picking out the M&Ms.
Yeah, I only like this and I don't like that. Like, who am I?
Right.
And I think most everybody would agree that God created the universe.
Yep.
Because you know what happens is people say, well, the Bible was written by man. Well, yes, man put pen to the parchment, but they wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And I look at it this way. If God has power to create everything we see, can't he keep his word intact for the last 2,000 years?
Yeah.
And so if it's not all true, then who in the world is the creation to argue with the creator?
Right.
What's true and what's not true?
There are full-on chapters of the Bible where God essentially talks to these people and says, please tell me who you think you are that you're telling me what to do here.
Yeah. So do I think everything in the Bible is true? Absolutely, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone would be so arrogant, whether me or anyone, to say, well, this is and this isn't, well, who are we to say that? I'm going to believe, and I believe everything from Genesis to Revelation is the inspired word of God, and we need more of the Bible in the DNA of our life.
Right.
So yes, I believe it's all true, and if anyone out there thinks some of it's not, I'd just like you to tell me what your where you decide what is and what isn't.
Right. How do you? It gets to be muddy water to try to cherry pick what works for you and what doesn't.
Hey, I'm going to base my whole life on it.
Yeah. So that's good. All right. So a follow-up question to that then, is the Bible outdated by today's standards?
Well, if the Bible is God's eternal word, then it can never be outdated.
Mm-hmm.
If it's eternal, it can never be outdated. And I, you know what? I've heard this question before, and it kind of blows my mind because you know what? People that ask that question probably have not read much of it.
That's a good point.
Because do you know that the Bible addresses every subject we deal with every day?
Yeah.
So outdated. I mean, the Bible talks about money and how to handle money.
Yep.
It talks about marriage.
Yep.
It talks about sex.
Mm-hmm. You said sex. How dare you?
It does. It talks about being gay and straight. It talks about anger, losing your temper. It talks about lust. It talks about love. Mm-hmm. It talks about friendships, how employers should treat their employees, how employees should respond to their employer.
That's good.
How to serve. I mean, outdated. If it was only the story about Noah and his ark, you know, I could see where you could maybe grab onto that, but the Bible addresses every subject that we deal with on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, and I guess this is the thought too, because I think some people look at it and they say like, oh, well, you're using these, you know, Jesus is using these metaphors like seeds, and he's talking about sheep, and I haven't seen a sheep anywhere outside of a zoo, you know? And so we look at things like that, and we try to blame the relevancy on stuff that was just contextual for them. Like that was the culture that they were all in. And so obviously they're talking about things that are culturally relevant to them, right? But we have to kind of...
But the principles
are superseding all of that.
Are still there.
And if you're interested in studying the Bible and really going a little bit deeper, you can't just look at it and say like, oh, you're talking about a sheep. I don't have a sheep, therefore it's not relevant to me. Wait a second, guy. Let's look at this a little bit more clearly here. And it may not be things that you are comfortable with or things that are in your everyday life, but that doesn't make it irrelevant.
It's never irrelevant. And I'll say it again. I said it once already, that people who have that question probably have not read much of the Bible because
assumptions that they're going for.
Yeah, I think we just assume it's irrelevant because it was written 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
But thank God that the Bible addresses every area of our life. In fact, I'll tell you, if there are those of you that are watching and you know the wheels have come off the chariot in your life, or you've kind of hit the wall, or you've experienced some sort of a train wreck in your life, your marriage, your family. Could I encourage you to get back to the Bible?
Yeah.
You know, Jesus said this. He said, he who hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Okay. The rain descended, floods came, winds blew, beat on that house, and it did not fall.
Right.
Because it was founded upon the rock.
Right.
Conversely, he says, he who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them,
right,
is like a foolish man.
Mm-hmm.
Who built his house on the sand.
Sinking sand, yep.
And the rain descended, the floods came, same storm, winds blew, and the house fell, and great was the fall of it.
Yeah.
The reason the house fell, and the reason why so many lives end up wrecked and in pieces, is because we didn't build our house on the rock. Christ and his word.
Right.
So, no, I'm not throwing shade. Or judging anybody,
right.
You know, I've had times my life got off track too.
Yeah.
So what's the, you know, what are we going to use for a basis here? The Word of God.
That's good.
So if things have really come unglued, how about we get back to the Bible?
Yeah.
And it talks about marriage and sexuality and anger and all the things that I listed. And God has given direction for every area of our life, and it is never outdated.
That's good. And so let me then, you know, we have a list of questions, and I'm going to skip one of our questions to go into something because we got about 5 minutes left, and I really want us to talk
about
this.
Part two next week.
Part two next week. We didn't get through all of our questions. So if you guys have more questions, feel free to even comment on this page. We'll go back and look at some of those to see if we can answer some of them next week. But I really want us to hit on this because you had mentioned it a couple times today, and I want to see just where we can go from here. The question is it a sin to be gay?
Well, the first question was easy.
No, yeah.
Is it? Let me
if we have time, I'll try to bring it back up, but I think we should go here.
Is it a sin to be gay? That's a kind of a complex question.
Yeah.
Because I would say, it's not a sin to have a same-sex attraction. The sin comes in is when we act on that.
Okay.
But let's look at this from 30,000 feet, an overview. Any sex outside of the bond of marriage, and marriage being between a man and a woman,
right,
is sin. Mm-hmm. Whether it's heterosexual sin, or if it's gay sex, any sexuality outside of the bond of marriage between a man and a woman,
yep,
that's God's definition of marriage,
right,
is sin.
Yeah.
Now, do people struggle with same-sex attraction? Some people do.
Right.
Now, people say, well, I was born that way. And I used to say, nobody's born that way. Nobody's born that way, you know. But I really think different now. I'm gonna share. We got to keep this thing really real, okay?
Yeah.
There have been people born with both genitalia,
mm-hmm,
and the parents have to decide.
They have to make the decision.
Is he or she going to be boy or a girl?
Right.
It's possible for someone to be born deformed. Now, walk with me. Come on. I know everybody's like got your ear right up to
right.
The, no,
just pay attention to
people
this.
People can be. Do you think it's possible for people to be born physically deformed?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My brother was born with a club foot, dislocated hip, double hernia, and a hole in his heart.
Wowza.
Yeah. Wowza.
Yeah.
And I saw someone on TV the other day, the right arm was only a little bit of stub here and a little hand.
Yeah.
You've seen it too. So let me ask a question with a question. If people can be born physically deformed,
mm-hmm,
is it possible we could be born with our hormones out of balance?
Hmm.
So then, and I say yes. If someone could be born physically deformed, it's possible then a girl could have more testosterone than most girls have.
Yeah.
Or a boy more estrogen.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So,
because you have both of those in your body, regardless of your gender, just set a foundation there.
Yeah. You have estrogen in your body.
Correct.
That's why he's so pretty. I shouldn't have said that.
It's too late. It's on the internet forever.
Yeah. But it's possible, I believe, for people. And hence, if we have an out of balance of hormones, that can lead to a same-sex attraction.
Mm-hmm.
But does that, okay, you may agree, you may disagree.
Right.
You're asking the questions, I'm giving the answers.
Right.
I'm not saying I'm right about everything.
Right.
But my wife knows everything. I don't. I feel in my heart. And I've seen children, 5 and 6 and 7, boys act very feminine.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been abused or they haven't been indoctrinated with some ideology. And I've seen girls be very boyish.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's possible if we can be born physically out of balance, then we could be hormonally out of balance. But let me qualify with this. Because my hormones are out of balance and I have a same-sex attraction, does that give me a right or an excuse to act on that? No.
Right.
No.
That's good.
Just like a heterosexual could be like super oversexed.
Right.
And he's not married, I'm oversexed, so I got to have sex outside of marriage. No.
Right.
Any sexuality outside of marriage between a man and a woman is sin. I'm going to tell you, I had an executive assistant,
mm-hmm,
work for me when I worked in Brooklyn Teen Challenge. He came out of the gay lifestyle,
mm-hmm,
and drug addiction.
Right.
Was saved, healed, delivered.
Yeah.
And came out of the gay lifestyle,
yep,
came out of the drug culture.
Okay.
But I got to tell you, I mean, did he still have those feelings and the propensity? Yes, he did. But you know what? He lived a disciplined life. And even though he had those same-sex attractions, he lived a godly, disciplined life.
That's solid.
And I admire him big time for that. So it is a sin to be gay. It's not a sin to have a same-sex attraction. But it is a sin to act on that same-sex attraction.
That's so true. And if I can add this too, I think.
Now hold on. I know we're out of time, but That's okay. The tech director said we can take a couple more minutes.
Do you mind here? Sorry for whatever segments after us here, but I think it is. I feel a little unfortunate that I feel as if I have to follow it up with this. But I, from the deepest parts of my heart, really know from what I've seen that we do. Regardless of how somebody sins, Jesus still loves them deeply and desperately.
To that.
And if you and I are meant to be representatives of Jesus, we are to love the homosexual deeply and desperately.
Amen.
Because I think there's so often, there's people groups out there that so often try to shoot these people down and try to just really hate on this people group. And and that breaks my heart so much because you have caused you have made their sin, you've made their struggle, you've made these things, you have made them to make this person some sort of animal.
And they like God still, is against them.
Right. And wait a second. If Jesus died for everyone's sin, if Jesus died for everyone's hurt, that's still true for this person as well, who's
absolutely
struggling this way.
Absolutely. And I heard one time, and I know we're over time, but that's okay, that a gay person's top view of Christians is that Christians hate gays.
Right. And I promise you, I will do everything in my power to make that not true.
And I will do the same.
Because it's one of those things that I have watched as people that I know who were friends of mine who struggled with homosexuality, I've watched as other people have berated them and pushed them out, and I cannot for the life of me believe that that's what Jesus wanted the church to do.
Never.
And so I don't think that I could have it in my heart to do the same to them.
Absolutely.
And
so absolutely.
Whatever the struggle.
Could we love everybody?
Honestly. Honestly.
And you know, and a lot of the church after 9/11, you know, hated on Muslims too.
Yeah.
But does God love the Muslim?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so important.
Let me say this in closing as we get ready to wrap this up. Whether it's a physical deformity, a hormonal deformity, could we just say this, that Jesus is still a healer?
Yeah.
And he can change and rearrange our hearts, mm-hmm. our attractions. He is still a miracle working God.
Right.
Okay. So I hope that helped bring some clarity. Do you think it helped bring some clarity?
I hope so. At least that we're not just talking heads out here.
No. So if you have a certain feeling, please don't say, "Oh, I'm a sinner. God's against me." No, some people just have those attractions.
Yeah.
But whether it's heterosexual or homosexual, just remember, all sexuality outside of marriage, it needs to stay in the bond of a marriage between a man and a woman.
Yeah.
And whenever we break that, heterosexual or homosexual, then it's sin.
Yeah, that's okay. Good.
All right.
We have a handful of questions still left over, and so we're going to save that for next week.
Part two next week.
Again,
like
if you
bam.
Yeah, if you guys have any other questions that you want to send to us, you can message Life Radio. We can leave that nice and private if you're comfortable doing that, or you can comment straight on to this video, and I'll be looking back so I can collect some of those questions and so that we can do this again next week.
Okay.
Cool.
Hey, thanks for being with us today. See you next Thursday.
Thanks so much.
4:00.
All right.
Life Radio.
We hope you enjoyed Conversations with Pastor Russ, Senior Pastor at the Fountain of Life in Burlington, New Jersey. Pastor Russ would love to meet you this Sunday at either our 9 or 11 a.m. services. For directions or more information, please feel free to contact us by calling 609-499-2131 or visit our website at flcnj.org. Thanks for listening to today's message on Life Radio WIFI, your inspiration station.